I'm very excited about. There's going to be a meeting afterwards. All of you that's interested in evangelism. 2 weeks ago, we went for our first time, but we just want to sort out a few logistical arrangements for people, because some can make it in the week and others on weekends. So please, after church, after everything is finished, just stay for 5 or 10 minutes. I would just like to speak to you. And then I want to just call Hilary and Sarti, if you can just come and stand next to me. I would just like to pray for you. They are going to leave us. That you would have noticed they were in church last week. This whole week we really spent some good time together, I believe. Did we spend good time together? Thank you. I'm glad you're agreeing. Hilary is the pastor of a church in Otapi, there in the far north, where all the water is. I really liked the way that our relationship developed this week, and we talked a lot about church and about shofar and maybe taking hands and helping each other. So I'm very excited in my heart to know that there's really wonderful people like Hilary and Sarti there up in the north that's really keeping the flag high and really doing wonderful work there. And I know that God will reward you for that. And as they are going to leave us today, they've been here now for the past week, and today they're traveling back. So I just felt I want to pray for them for traveling safely. And I know they're also praying about a few big decisions in this next time, and that God will really bless them and give them wisdom. So if you feel comfortable, you can just extend your hand as I pray for them. Father God, I want to thank you for Hilary and Sarti, Lord God, for these precious people, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that you made our paths cross, Lord God, and that we could meet each other. And thank you for encouraging each other and really had a good week together in terms of building a relationship and working together, Father, that we can talk about the gospel, Father, and as pastors, that we could speak together eye to eye, Lord. It was really a blessing to my heart, Lord God. And thank you that I could participate in everything in our church this week, Father. Father, and as they will be on the road today, Lord, traveling all the way to Otapi, Father, I pray that you'll bless them, Father, that your hand will be with them, that the blood of Jesus Christ will protect them every meter that they are driving, Father God. And yes, Lord, there up in the north, Lord God, that they will preach the gospel, Father, that they will equip the saints for the work of the ministry, Lord, that you'll provide for them in all ways, Lord God, that you'll make the ground square before them, Father, that you'll really help them, Father God. And yes, Lord, that we can see your kingdom come there as well, Father, where we know it's hard ground in many ways, Father God, and that you'll give them strategy, Lord God. And yes, Lord, that we can see their work, Lord, that just go from glory to glory, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys, and we're looking forward. I think we will see Hilary again in May. He will come and visit us again, and that's really something I'm looking forward to it already. So I'm going to share a bit maybe I'm going to make it a bit shorter this morning, but anyway, I'm going to preach maybe at least 2 or 3 Sundays on this topic, because it's such a important one and such a big one. Thanks a lot, Leanne. And it's prayer. I really felt in the week sometime I was actually standing in the shower. God speaks to us at all places, and I felt the Holy Spirit said I must read 1 Samuel. And I didn't know for what reason, what God wanted to show me. But I'm really glad for what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me. And I'm just going to start this morning. I'm going to use it as a foundation, basically. And it's, I really want us to speak for at least 2 or 3 Sundays, if that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do on that. Now, I just want to ask, who of you like to pray? Few amount of you. Now, I'm not going to ask you how much do you pray in a week, you know, but I believe that all of us, we can pray much more that we are praying. Now, just something from my side, I remember when I was a young Christian, I've shared it before, when I came from a very traditional background, and I first joined Shofar, and it was that October 2002. And then we went on a first year's camp, and we interceded a lot, we fasted for it, and I remember I went to those meetings early in the morning where we prayed for the first years of the next year to come to university. We really trusted God for their hearts and their souls, because usually at a university, you will know, those of you who have been there or are currently there, that's a place where the devil really operates, and he likes to get people through many different ways and snares. He wants to catch them. And I remember listening to the prayers of some of the leaders then. I knew in my heart that wasn't the way I was praying. I knew at that stage I had to grow a lot in the way that I'm praying. So please bear with me. This I'm going to read a part of scripture to us. It's from 1 Samuel. I'm going to read to us from 1 Samuel 1 Samuel 1 verse 1. It's going to be quite a long passage, but please listen, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards. Now there was a certain man of Ramathain in Zophim, my Hebrew isn't very good, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Jub, Ephraimite. Now it will be easier from here onwards. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peniah. Now Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, as the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord has closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord has closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is it that your heart is grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose early, after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. So then she made a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxication drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered her and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Verse 19. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the God, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Okay, and then I'm going to just jump to, Samuel 2 verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah. So she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And meanwhile, the son Samuel grew. Okay, so you get the picture. It was this lady. Now, in that time, we can almost see a parallel between Hannah's condition and the nation of Israel. Both was barren. It wasn't a good time. Eli's sons really was a disgrace to the house of God. They really sinned in awful ways. And scripture says there wasn't a lot of revelation in that time. The word of God wasn't well spread. So if you for a Hebrew woman of that time, the most dreadful thing to happen to her was that if she couldn't give any children to her husband, because the sons would inherit the estate and everything the father has owned. So that was something that was very sad, and I believe it's in most adults' hearts to have children. Children is a good thing. It's a blessing. They keep us on our toes, and we love them. But as we look here, I want to just look at 1 Samuel 1 verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. We can see, guys, that this prayer that Hannah had prayed here, it wasn't one of those, oh God, I hope that I can have a nice day, please bless me and bless my friends as well. It was something that came from her spirit. She was making intercession. She was really praying. She was really asking God. She was praying from a place deep inside her. You know, and the wonderful thing is that God saw her heart, and I don't know for what reason. Maybe it was to glorify God, I believe. But its scripture said, God closed her womb. And obviously later, God heard her heart, and he opened her womb because she had Samuel. And I think it says that she had three sons and two daughters. So God blessed her in abundance. Afterwards, you could see, then she had six children. And for a long time, she couldn't have any. Just one or two things that I picked up from reading this passage that really was... That I just felt in my spirit so powerfully. If you were in a place of anguish and you of bitterness of soul and your husband's other wife, I hope none of you are in that situation right now, would tease you, and it's something that's really, but maybe you can apply it to some other place in your life. Okay? If you were in that place praying to God, and now the priest come and he tells you, stop being drunk. I think, what's the first thing that could happen? What's the word? What's the word I'm looking for? That's the first thing that could happen to her heart towards Eli. Offense. I mean, she's hurt. She's praying. Her lips are moving. She's really speaking to God deep things about her innermost part. And now the priest look. He doesn't understand it. And he says, you are drunk. I mean, most people will just leave, walk out of church, and never come back to church or to God, maybe, because of offense. But you know what does she said in the second sentence? She calls Eli Lord. Nah? Okay? And then she explains to him what she was doing, and then he actually blesses her. But I think it's just a caution to us, guys. The devil wants us to be offended and hurt and all those type of things. So please be careful. You know, it happened, I can give you my word, I didn't plan it, the altar call we had, but if I look here on my paper, I wrote there on Saturday night, who of you have felt before like that? Who of you felt that you were in a place like a Hannah? That you really want to cry before God? That you really were hurting? That there were so many things that was going wrong? And in sequence with the altar call, you know, maybe it's your family, your finances, your husband, your children. There's so many things that we really need God for. Okay? So the name I gave the sermon was to pray like a Hannah. You know, to pray like a Hannah. And she prayed, God listened to her, and God blessed her. And you know, her son, Samuel, was a great, great prophet. You know, so he, God moved with Hannah's prayer, you know, to bless her with the son, but also to bring a new dispensation to the nation of Israel. You know, Samuel was a wonderful prophet, and you know, she made a covenant with God and said, you know, no razor shall touch his hair. That means, you know, he shall stand, he shall be in the house of God. I will give him to God, I will give him back to God. And you know, there's many parents that are sitting here. And you know, later on we read that she was saying to her husband, as soon as the boy was weaned, you know, she would let him go. Now I can't imagine to let a 2 or 3 year old boy to go, to send him to the temple, to basically live there. You know, we love our children so much, and as you will see, there's a lot of 2 or 3 year old kids around. But that was how serious she was when she did business with God. Now, I said I'm basically going to lay a foundation on prayer. And I really believe we're going to progress in the next 2 weeks and really go deeper into that. So, just one or two things I want to share with us this morning. In Jonah 2 verse 2, we read, now, you know, prayer is two-way communication. Hannah spoke to God. But I believe God also spoke to Hannah. There's a lot of examples we'll find in Scripture regarding this. Jonah 2 verse 2. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You know, it's wonderful when we pray for something, when we trust for something. You know, I think it must have been wonderful if you think, if you put yourself in Hannah's shoes, okay, when that first day that you felt, okay, maybe I'm a bit nauseous in the morning, maybe I'm pregnant. You know, my wife was not pregnant twice, and that's usually how we figure these things out. I think it must have been wonderful, because Scripture said the Lord remembered Hannah's prayers. Okay, so that first morning when she waked up and it came to end, and she see I was pregnant after her womb was closed for many years. I think she just wanted to run outside and just praise and worship for half a day or 2 days maybe, because she asked God for something and God gave it to her. Now I know there's many of you, and in my own life, that we have trusted God for things and God came through for us. He gave us answer to a prayer where we need to make a decision. Should we move? Should we take a new job? Should I marry this girl? Many things, you know. And when we know God comes through for us and He shows us the right thing, then it's so powerful. It's so wonderful. Now, just a little bit on background. You know, many of you would have received SMSs. And I really love it so much when we can pray together. And I ask you to pray for something. And I hope you don't mind. But we pray together for Harry's brother that I sent SMSs out. For David's daughter. For the last, well, for Sanders' brother's son. And the list go on. Which was the other ones? For Reinald, when you were with Reinald, when his boy was in the hospital as well. There were so many things the last time that I sent SMSs to you guys. And then you said, amen, I will pray. I will agree. Yes, victory. You know, it's so powerful to know that we can cover each other in prayer all together. Now, you know what's the wonderful thing? Is that God uses us as people. You know, God is almighty, He's omnipotent. You know, He can do anything. But God in His wisdom created things in such a way that He decided that He's going to use us humans, you know, with all our mistakes, with all our everything, that He's going to use us. And He's going to use us in prayer as well. You know, when I was just Saturday afternoon, my whole family was sleeping, I was praying and working on my sermon. You know, it just came to my mind that we don't read in Scripture. It's God's Word. It's holy. But we don't read just about perfect people. You know, not even the nation of Israel. You know, God's chosen people. Okay? God said they were stiff-necked people. They were disobedient. They kept on sinning and worshipping idols. And they did so many things wrong. But God put it in Scripture that we can learn from that. If we think of the King Davids, the Samsons, everyone, you know, all the Jeremiahs, all these figures that we can see in Scripture. God didn't just put there the wonderful things they did. God didn't just say about David, he was a man after my own heart. He also have put in the sins of David, the things that he did wrong. And it's that we can learn from that. You know, in 2 Timothy it says that all Scripture are good for the use of doctrine, recorrecting and teaching. So it's wonderful to know that and to see that. It's not, Scripture is not just full of a perfect people, perfect people, you know. It's something that's really wonderful. And, you know, God used people like me and you. He used people like Hannah to pray that He could raise a prophet like a Samuel. If you think God made a covenant with Abraham, you know, he used Moses to lead His people out of Egypt to the promised land. Now, I believe God could just have sent a legion of angels, killed the Pharaoh and all the Egyptians, and made His people move. But that's not, God raised a leader like Moses. And you know, Moses' heart was, like I feel many times myself, he said like, God, I'm not a good person at speech. Rather use this or Aaron or this or that, you know. But God chose to use us. He want to partner with us. Scripture talks that we are His co-laborers. And I just want to hold a few things before us this morning. I've got so many papers here. I think I can speak for an hour or two, but that's why we're gonna share over 2 or 3 weeks on this topic. But because I believe we must grow in our praying. We can always learn to do it better. Just one or two things. So why should we pray? What is there in it for us to pray? You know, we can pray for strength in challenging times. You know, there's a lot of scriptures referring to that. I'm not going to quote all of them today. We can, you know, prayer is our communication with God. You know, as our bodies need oxygen as we breathe, so our spirits need prayer. Everything is about prayer. When we pray, things are happening. Things are shifting in the spiritual realm. For partnering, you know, we can, for partnership with God. You know, we've talked a lot this year already about the Great Commission, about going, about people, salvation, these type of things. That's where we partner with God. God doesn't just send this. I'm sure one of God's angels can preach so much better than any one of us. But God chooses us to do the preaching and the worship and the everything. Let me read to you from Ezekiel 22, verse 30 to 31. Because God is seeking people that He can partner with. People that is serious about His work. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. It's sad. It was a bad time in the history of, let's call it, Christians or the church. God was seeking for someone with an upright heart, someone that would say, yes, Lord, despite my sin, despite my shortcomings, I will stand up and You can use me. But God, at that stage, He didn't find anyone. Okay? That's when it's so beautiful. When people come to church, I heard, as I was at a children's party yesterday morning, and I speak to someone's sister, they're in the Shofar Church in Paul, and we just talked about the pastor, and I don't know how we got to it, and she shared a story, and she said the one day she went to the pastor, and you know, because pastors are usually pastoral, he asked her, excuse me, he asked her, do you feel used by the church sometimes? Do you feel that the church uses you and you feel tired? And she thought, okay, now he's going to really help me and talk to me and say how grateful I am that you are doing something. And then she said, yes, of course. And then he said, wonderful, because God wants to use you. Okay? So if you feel a little bit used, hopefully you will also know that God wants to use us. And I mean it in a good sense. Okay, so God is also seeking people that He can partner with. I want us to look something that I believe is really for us for this season, and that is prayer and the Great Commission. What is, we should go, we all know, we don't have to pray about, should we go and evangelize, should we share the gospel with someone. We don't have to pray about that. But there's a few other things that we can see from Scripture that God really wants us to do in tandem. The doing and the praying, it must work together. We should pray, guys, that the word might run swiftly. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Secondly, that a door would be opened to the gospel. We should pray for that. We shouldn't just, you know, I talked about this year already about praying for ourselves, praying for other people, but we should pray for the gospel. It should be part of something that we pray for. In Colossians 4, verse 3, we read, continue earnestly in your prayers. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. So we should pray for that. We should really trust for that. We should also pray that the boldness and utterance may be given to God's people. We read in Ephesians 6, verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's things that we should pray for as we go and before we go. We should pray because this is what the disciples did. This is what the apostles did. Also, that all men might be saved. We should pray for that. We can read it in 1 Timothy 2. Lastly, that laborers may be sent out. In Luke 10, verse 2, we will read, and He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You know, it's things that we should pray for. These things happen by prayer. As I said, we can just go, We know we've been already called to do that. But there's many things relating to that, that we can intercede for, that we can pray for. When you're in your inner room, that we can pray for these people, that we can pray for these things. There's another type of prayer where we can birth things. You know, many times, you know, now, especially my prayers has changed after I got married and after I got children. Usually when I was alone and single and young, I used to pray a lot more for myself, my circumstances, things like that. But that doesn't happen a lot anymore. I pray for my wife and my kids and my family. I really pray a lot for them because I know I'm the strong man. I'm the spiritual strong man and I've got a very strong place to pray. And the good news is, guys, I pray for you as well. Hopefully you pray for me as well. Okay? Me and Skola, many times someone will call and say, listen, we've got this or that challenge. And then immediately you can ask Skola. We will come together and we will agree. And we will pray and we'll ask the blood of Jesus to be in that circumstances, no matter what it might be. And I know that's powerful. I want to read to you from 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Now that is the way that ladies used to give birth in the Old Testament times. You know, usually today I was there when all three of our kids were born. Okay, now that's not the way my wife did it. It was a lot different. But that's a picture also about symbolizes that in that he's praying, he's also giving birth. He's praying for something that wasn't there to start to happen. And I believe that's things that we will have to pray for more. Okay, you know, some of the older people that were here, I remember there was a time that we did pray for a new venue, that we did agree and that we did speak life over that. Skola, Priska, you guys, Paul, you will remember. Okay, and now this thing is before us. But there's a lot of more things that we can't see with our eyes that we should pray for, and we must birth it in prayer as well. And it continues in verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look to the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again, because he could see nothing, there was no clouds. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. In that time, Elijah, God said to him, now once again, God could have just done something, but he laid it on his prophet's heart to pray this thing into happening. You know, God could have just said, let there be heavy rain, and it would have happened. But now we find the reference in James where he says that he had to pray that the rain should stop, and then he prayed for the rain to come again. And that's something prophetic for us, something that we must start to make part of our own, that we have to birth things through our praying. I want to read to you, it's wonderful how many times you'll see in the New Testament, Old Testament is quoted in James 5 verse 13. And this is something I want to encourage all of us with. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing a praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess therefore your sins to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Elijah was a man like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You see, something I want that I believe God wants us to do. Like this morning, when the call came for people with burdens, you could see there was people with burdens. That was why the ministry happened. Okay? Now I believe that God has things on his heart. He's got purposes for us. Like Pastor Lucille talked about 2-3 weeks ago, you know? There's things in God's heart that he wants to happen. Okay? But obviously, as I said, God can just say, let it happen, and it will be, because that's God. Okay? But God wants us to pray it into being. And it's our responsibility as a church, for us, the part that God called us for what we should do, maybe for your family, that we should go and listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, that we should distinguish between different things. What is God saying to us? And that we should keep on praying until we get the breakthrough. If God is saying, pray for a new building, I'm just using it as an example, then we should birth it. We should birth it in prayer. We should keep on praying until we have that thing. Okay? But we must move in accord with what the Holy Spirit is showing us. That is why I still enjoy it so much on Tuesday mornings when we have intercession, you know, and God will come, and many times you can hear people praying the same thing. And it's people that just came here 6:15 in the morning, all from different part of Windhoek, and they have the same thing in their hearts because of the Holy Spirit. When we spend time praying, you know, then God will lay it on our hearts. There's prayers that we can pray for protecting us. Guys, I've got so many things here that I would like to share with you, but I'm not going to keep it too long. As I said, we'll do it on a third and a second, and even if necessary, on a fourth week, that we can understand how prayer is working. I think something that many of you pray a lot of the time, and I pray it myself, is prayers for protection. We can see King Jehoshaphat for Israel, you know, in 2 Chronicles, when he got a message that from all the different parts of the country, the people came against the nation of Israel. And he said, what should we do? He was in despair. And then everyone came together and they prayed. And we could see there, I've got it here, let me read it to you. In verse 9, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 9, if disaster comes upon us, the sword of judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in affliction, and you will hear and you will save. And then they were praying together, all the people were praying together, and then in verse 14 we will see God bring the solution. He said, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benai, the son of Jeleel, the son of a Levite, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God. And then he says, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come out. And then he said, you will have the victory. Now, you know, if we were in this church and we were surrounded by 2,000 men in armor, there's no way we can fight against them. We've got maybe how many adult men? And a lot of strong young men, I know. Okay? But then we will have to ask God for a solution, supernaturally, to help us, because in this circumstance all the nations that came around them were so much more and stronger than them than themselves. Now the king was at a place where he said, what shall we do? Now you know they came together before the temple and they prayed, and then God gave instruction to a certain man, and there they know and can see, and you can go and read scripture, the salvation came. And many times in our own lives, I remember as a young man in 2007, I'm still a young man now, you know, I had the opportunity to invest in in what's the word I'm looking in a property in a property investment. Now, it wasn't just one of these schemes you read in the back of the newspaper about. It was really Christians in church. It was really a lot of solid guards. Everything was right, okay. And I did my investment and I had peace about it. And as many of you would know, 2007, 8, 9, 10, and currently maybe, it wasn't a very good time in the investment industry in terms of property, you know. And I did lose a lot, okay. But I came before God and I'm sharing something out of my personal life, and I said, like, God, how can it be? I really felt you said it was okay if I do it, okay. But you know, I didn't curse the people in my heart who was leading this, let's call it a scheme. It wasn't really a scheme, it was something sound, okay. But you know what was the good thing? I just keep on trusting in God that He's my provision, and what I lost, I lost. Okay? But a wonderful thing was that God came later on, and He repaid me so many times more. God blessed me in so many other ways that even if that investment would have doubled, it wouldn't have been equal to what God has given me later in my life. But I believe God allows things like that, that our character can grow, that we won't turn our backs on God, that we should stay in a place where we know who our God is, who the Father is that we're praying to, and that we shall believe, that we shall pray with faith like a Hannah. I want to encourage you, all of us, to leave this morning that we should be praying like Hannah's, okay? And she got her 6 children. God did listen to her, and that we should keep on, that we should really keep on praying. To end off with this morning, you know, many of you would have looked at the movie Angus Buchan, Faith Like Potatoes. You know, he also said when he was standing in front of all the people in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." Guys, as I said in Jonah, God wants to speak to us. He wants to answer our prayers. We should keep on interceding like Hannah's. We should trust God. We should cry before Him if necessary. We should be on our knees. Even if you fast and people think you are stupid or silly, like the priest Eli has called her drunk. That must have hurt her so much. Okay, Scripture doesn't talk about it, but you can just imagine. But we should keep on praying for our friends, for our family, for our church, for our nation, for the spread of the gospel, for God to protect us, for God to raise up leaders and harvesters. In Philippians 4 verse 6 we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Father God, I want to thank you this morning, Father, that you move in our church, Father God, that we can be a living family, Father God. And I pray, Lord God, that you will stir in our hearts to pray, Lord, that we can be a praying church, as Pastor Lucilla said. Father, that we can keep on praying, Father, that when you lay things, burdens on our heart, Lord, that we won't say to you, Lord, someone else, or I'm too tired, Lord, or not me, Father, but that we shall pray it through, Lord God, that we shall give birth, Lord God, in the Spirit, Lord, when we see that first cloud coming, Father God, when the servant went up the first time in the mountain, Lord, he only seen there was nothing, no clouds. But Father, when we read on, we saw there was heavy rain that fell, and it was through a man's prayer, Father God. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll stir in our hearts to pray, Lord, that you'll keep on showing us what to pray, Father God. And when ourselves or our children or our friends or our family are sick, Lord God, or in their battle, Father, that we can unite together and that we can come in agreement and that we can pray, Lord God, that we can pray and that we can get the breakthrough, Father God, and that the glory may go to you. Lord, that we can pray that the gospel may be spread, that there will be open doors, Father God, that you will show us, Father, that our prayers, Lord God, that we won't waste our breath, Lord God, but that we will pray effectively where the Holy Spirit shows us to pray, Father God. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you'll bless us as a church, Father God, and that we can really, Father, be obedient to what you have called us to do. Father, I pray for every family that is here, Father God. Father, I also just want to say, Lord, that I believe in prayer. Thank you that we can say, Father, we believe in your prayer, Father, and that you speak to us, that it's two-way communication, Lord God. And I pray for every family here, Lord, that you'll protect us by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you'll give us sound minds, Father God, that the devil will not come and steal and kill and destroy in our families. Father, I pray for every person here that has responded to your call this morning, Father, that burdens would have been lifted, Father God, that hearts can feel light. Father, I thank you for testimonies, Lord. I know of a testimony this morning, Father, that of where your children just come back to you, that we should keep on trusting on you, Father God, and that you will prove yourself faithful, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you, if there's anyone of you guys here this morning, if you feel you've got a prayer need, someone, something you want to agree with, that you can come to the front. I would love to pray with you. For the rest of you guys, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Rest. It's a day of rest. Spend time with your family or your friends. There's also something to drink at the back. Have some fellowship together. And I'm looking forward to see you next week at the same time in the same place. And I believe we will continue then discovering what God wants to teach us on prayer. Amen.